Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Francavilla Show. I'm your host, Dr. Carolyn Francavilla, board-certified family physician and diplomate of the American Board of Obesity Medicine. I've been helping patients lose weight to treat and prevent medical problems for the last 10 years, and I'm taking what I've learned from them to you. In this podcast, you will learn the science behind why you struggle with your weight and what to do about it, tips for common challenges, work to fight bias about what a healthy weight really is, and improve your relationship with food and your body. Please remember that while I'm a doctor, I'm not your doctor. This podcast is meant to be informational in nature only, not medical advice. Please seek out care from your physician for your specific needs. Okay, let's get started. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the podcast. Today, we're going to talk about traditions and how those might be in the way of reaching your health goals. We're going to talk about some common ones I see in my life and for my patients and help you recognize some of these traditions that maybe need to change for you to live your healthiest life. So, this weekend, I was inspired because I saw the old musical Fiddler on the Roof with my family. And of course, now I have the song Tradition stuck in my head. If you haven't seen this musical, it's lovely. It's been out for a really long time. And it's largely about a Jewish family who has to sort of change some of their traditions, but there is a breaking point at which there are things that they will not change. And I think that that is something we all need to recognize, that we are going to change some things in our progression towards health, but there are some things that are going to be meaningful and important and that aren't going to change. But the goal with this episode is to be intentional about that change, to recognize some of these traditions or what are just habits for us that maybe are not serving us, and be intentional about which things we want to do and want to continue in our life, and which things we have told ourselves is a tradition and that's why we do it. And maybe we can change how we interact with that tradition. So traditions happen in lots of different ways. We're coming up on the holiday season, so we'll talk about some of the different holiday traditions that some of us have, but there are lots of other things that I think we do on a regular basis that are what we call traditions as well, and maybe are not serving us. So let's dive into all of that today. So, you know, traditions can be very important and very meaningful, but we're going to take a pause and make sure that they are serving us well when it comes to our health and our weight. A lot of our traditions are around food. So in my family, for example, we have a lot of extended family in the area, and we tend to get together, especially to celebrate birthdays. And I don't think a birthday would be complete without a birthday cake. I used to think of nothing besides cake when it came to the birthday. And I think that that was not the best way to celebrate, right? The event is really about coming together with your family and celebrating a certain person. But at the same time, I can't really picture a birthday party without a cake and blowing out candles and making a wish. That feels like a special part of the tradition for me. And I like to see my kids do that as well. And so when we are evaluating that tradition, we have to think like, well, what's the purpose of this? And, you know, why is maybe food getting in the way of really my health and celebrating at the same time? So, you know, what happens with the cake? Well, sometimes there's way too much of it. And there is this pressure to finish all of that cake or to take it home with you or eat leftovers. And instead of eating a moderate amount of cake just at that celebration, you might end up eating cake for many days. Well, that solution might just be to get a smaller cake, right? Or to give the cake away to someone else, to freeze it, or to even throw it away so that it's not sitting there tempting you after the event. Some of us use these traditions as an excuse to go a little crazy and eat too much, right? And so that might be something where you have to do a little self-talk with yourself before the event and say, okay, like I am going to make sure I've eaten lots of other healthy food during the event, and that when it comes to cake, I am going to have a small piece and then that's going to be it. I'm going to move on. I'm just going to really enjoy the piece I get. So that may be your strategy. Or your strategy may just be enjoy the celebration with the cake and to really say like, that isn't serving me. We have a lot of celebrations coming up this month. Maybe we already celebrated the birthday privately and now we're all saying it as a bigger group and I can't have cake twice this week or twice today. And I'm just going to skip this piece of cake right now. Another thing that might happen is you take a bite of the cake and you remember enjoying that tradition. And now you have it and you're like, I could take it or leave it. Well, you don't need to finish that cake, right? If it doesn't taste that good to you today, it's not your favorite flavor, you're just not feeling it, then it's okay to stop eating it and just move on and walk away from it. So those are all things that I think, you know, we can change how we have used that tradition. Again, I think a lot of times we use these traditions as a chance to overindulge. And if we just take that pause to be mindful and ask ourselves what would serve our body, what does our body really need right now, as opposed to just doing what we have always done, then we can still enjoy the tradition without really making it more of a bad habit where we're sort of overindulging and not treating our body a way that is respectful of it or serving our current health goals. Okay. Another tradition that I see a lot of people do and that I hear from my patients is popcorn at the movies. So to a lot of people, going to the movies, getting a big bucket of popcorn or maybe some other specific candy, a soda, an icy, something like that is part of the tradition, the experience of going to the movie theater. And so if that is a habit or a tradition that you have had for many, many years, and it's part of what makes it special, that may be hard to change. And that's where reflecting a little bit is helpful. So if you only go to the movie theater once a year, and you are feeling like you are treating your body well the rest of the time, and you feel like the worst thing you're doing all month is having this big bucket of popcorn, and it is, you know, the one time you're really just enjoying that treat, then maybe that's fine. Just enjoy it. But if you go to the movie theater on a regular basis and it has just become sort of a habit or a tradition to get a big bucket of popcorn every time you go there, and this is something you're doing on a really regular basis, and you don't even love the popcorn anymore, it's just something you do. Maybe it's something your partner does or your family does, or you just feel like it's part of the experience. It's something you're supposed to do. Take that pause and evaluate maybe before you get to the theater, before you're tempted by the smells, and just get into your regular habits and ask yourself, is that really serving your goals? Would you be better off eating a healthy meal before you saw the movie? Would you be better off sneaking in your own healthy snack if you want to nibble on something during the movie? Do you just need to get a smaller size than you normally do? But instead of falling into this pattern and saying, well, this is how I celebrate, this is a tradition, this is how I've always done it, how do you go to the movie theater a different way? Ask yourself if that's serving your goal and what really would be satisfying and enjoyable to you. And if it's the popcorn, great, do that. But if you are able to take that pause and say, I could take it or leave it, you know, actually the experience to me is about being in the theater and having the surround sound and having the complete lack of distractions of laundry or phones or other things and just really enjoying the movie. Well, do you need popcorn for that experience? So that might be another tradition that you experience in your life. This is another one that I see on a regular basis. And every time I'm on an airplane, I really notice this. It seems whoever I'm sitting next to, whether it's someone I know or someone I don't, everyone is ordering soda, ordering ginger ale, ordering juice when they are on an airplane. And I think looking back, I used to always get a ginger ale on an airplane. It was like part of the tradition, right? And, you know, if your stomach's a little queasy, the carbonation and the ginger can settle it. So there might be a reason that you're getting it if you don't feel well. But, you know, I think flights are pretty smooth most nowadays. Most of us, you know, feel fine on the flight. And so that may be another time where you're like, it's an airplane, it's a tradition, I treat myself. Maybe you get a drink, maybe you get a juice, maybe you get a soda, even though maybe in your regular life, like you are not doing those things. And if you take a flight once a year or once every few years and you get a ginger ale or you get a cocktail on the flight, like that's probably not a problem. But if you fly on a regular basis and this has just become a habit or a tradition, like maybe that is something you don't need to do anymore. Like, why are you getting a ginger ale today? I don't see people get ginger ale out and about in the world very often. All of a sudden, everyone sits down on the plane and they're getting orange juice and ginger ale and all these sweet beverages that maybe are not part of their health goal, right? So if you are finding yourself in these automatic habits, these traditions, these things you just do for the sake of doing, taking that pause for a moment, mean like, okay, maybe I've done this 100 times before in my life, but like today, maybe I'll just get a soda water or a regular water. Like, do I need a sweet drink just because I'm on an airplane? Okay, so speaking of drinking, another challenge I see for a lot of my patients is alcohol. So alcohol is a big part of traditions and celebrations for lots of people. And for a lot of people, they celebrate on a regular basis. This may be every weekend going out with their boyfriend or going out with their family, going out with their wife, having family barbecues, work events, and drinking is a big part of the culture or the celebration with this group of people. And so, you know, we've talked about alcohol on the podcast before, but alcohol, we're seeing more and more data that it's not great for our health. And I think when it comes to weight, it's also a big challenge because when you drink alcohol, it disinhibits you. So you're more likely to drink more alcohol, and you're also more likely to eat things that probably you would not eat if you had not been drinking. So those are some of the reasons why I recommend caution with alcohol. And so if alcohol is a big part of your traditions and your celebrations, and it happens on a regular basis for you, that might be something that you need to reevaluate and reframe how that is working for you. So if every family barbecue has a giant cooler of beer and the expectation is that you're going to drink several of those, or every time you're celebrating, you're getting a bottle of champagne or a round of margaritas, just take that pause and say, is this really adding to the experience? Is that really what this is about? A lot of my patients really fight back on alcohol because they say, like, everyone's doing it. How am I supposed to enjoy the event without it? And I always find that's a little bit silly of an argument. I think if that feels like you, you need to really evaluate what your relationship with alcohol is like, because as someone who's been, you know, pregnant twice in the last decade, I spent 9 months not having a drink, right? Like, you certainly can go to events and not drink. You can have a glass of sparkling water instead, or have a hot tea, or just regular old water as your beverage. And there's lots of people out there who are sober all the time. They don't drink at all for a variety of reasons. So I think if you are making that argument to yourself that this is what we do, this is how we celebrate, that you could reevaluate if your celebrations really need to involve alcohol so often. And sometimes that might mean taking a break from some of the people who are pressuring you if you really can't celebrate with those people without drinking too. So something to consider. Now, if you are having a glass of champagne on New Year's and that's once a year, or at a fancy dinner a few times a year, like, you know, that's fine. But if you are having 5, 10, 20, 30 drinks on a weekly basis, that is not serving your weight or your health goals. So that might be a tradition that is becoming more of a bad habit than a true tradition. Okay, so it is holiday season. Halloween is just around the corner as I'm recording this. And Halloween is one of my favorite holidays. My dad's birthday is on Halloween. We have always been really big on celebrating this holiday in my family. I mean, you get to dress up however you want. You get to plan that. It's a lot of fun. Trick or treating. I love seeing all the different costumes when people come to my door to get treats. And I love taking my kids out and seeing everyone in the neighborhoods in their fun costumes. So much creativity. And I love it. But a big part of Halloween ends up being all these sweet treats, particularly candy that's being given out. And one of the things that can do is cause challenges in lots of different ways when we're trying to reach our goal, because, you know, that candy, very high in sugar. I certainly enjoy candy. I love chocolate. But when we get a lot of candy, it can lead to having too much at a time, right? And so one of the things we can do is kind of plan with what we're going to do with all this candy. So I know one of my challenges back before I had kids that were trick-or-treating is I would buy a bunch of candy, you know, in case there were trick-or-treaters, and then I would end up eating it, some of it before Halloween, and any leftovers, like, you know, yay, free candy, that's mine. No, not enough trick-or-treaters. Now I'm going to eat that. And so if one of the challenges is having the candy in your home, then you might want to consider how you're going to handle that. Do you consider it not your candy? It's just for trick-or-treaters. And if they don't eat it, you're bringing it to the office, or you're donating it, or getting rid of it in another way. Do you get treats for the trick-or-treaters that are not candy? So I really like giving out like little bubbles and pencils and stickers. And a lot of time that stuff's actually cheaper to get than candy, and it will stay until the next year. So if people don't pick up all the Play-Dohs or all the bubbles or whatever. Great. I just put it in a Halloween box and I can put it out again next year. And I haven't wasted anything or had a bunch of candy that we didn't need in our household. And you're offering a really fun treat for kids who maybe can't eat the candy treats for some reason that they are getting at a lot of the other houses. So that might be a different way to make that tradition in your household of giving out a different type of treat that's not just candy, if that is a problem in your household. And then if you have kids and they are getting a lot of candy, what is your plan for that candy? Are you going to let them pick a few of their favorite pieces? Are you going to kind of put it away and kind of slowly use it over the course of several months? Or are you going to donate it to an organization in your area that redistributes it to, say, the troops or other places that maybe can use that very large amount of candy that some of us end up with on Halloween? So, you know, planning ahead. And none of this takes away from the holiday. We don't need 100 or 200 pieces of candy to enjoy Halloween, in my opinion. You know, it doesn't mean don't eat any of the candy, right? But be intentional about it. What are the favorite pieces? What's something new you want to try? Have some fun with it, but don't have so much fun that now you are not serving your health goals, because right after Halloween, we have more holidays, right? So we tend to have all this candy that comes in October. And then before we know it, we are on to our next big holiday, which is Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving, of course, is a holiday that has lots of traditions around it. And we tend to base that holiday in most of our households around food and inactivity in many cases. And so as you approach Thanksgiving, maybe you think a little bit more about those traditions and how you are going to have that holiday serve your needs better. So we've talked a lot about food, but let's talk about the inactivity part of it. A lot of people look forward to a day like Thanksgiving because they plan to sit on the couch all day. Maybe they watch the parade and then some football games. Maybe they're doing a movie marathon. But for a lot of people, there's just this plan that I'm going to eat a bunch. I'm going to eat so much that I have to unbutton my pants. And then I'm just going to like relax on the couch. And like, what if we just kept the tradition of enjoying our family and being grateful without sort of the inactivity part? What would that look like? You know, there's a lot of people who do a turkey trot in the morning. So maybe they go on a 5K walk or run in the morning. Maybe there's a walk you do as a family after your Thanksgiving dinner. Maybe you play football together or play some catch. But, you know, trying to think about how to change your traditions if one of the traditions is being really inactive and not moving on that day. Is there a way that you can incorporate more movement? And then, of course, there's the food part, which may mean if you're the host, experimenting with some different recipes that are a little more health conscious, or if you are mostly going to be a guest for Thanksgiving, thinking about how you can make that meal fit your goals. Maybe that means you just eat the meal and move on and you don't take a lot of leftovers and seconds. Or maybe it means that you're going to focus on getting a lot of vegetables in still. Maybe your goal is going to be to just have one dessert instead of having multiple desserts. But going in with a little bit of an intention doesn't mean you're not going to celebrate, doesn't mean you're not going to keep your traditions. But if you have just been in this habit where you're like, well, all of us eat as much as possible, all of us eat leftovers and seconds, all of us have multiple desserts, that's the tradition. Well, you could probably change that tradition a little bit and have just as much enjoyment and keep the important part of Thanksgiving alive without making yourself feel crummy or setting back your health goals a bunch. And then from Thanksgiving, we tend to have just like this winter holiday season. People celebrate different things, but it kind of seems like no matter what, we're all surrounded by so many sweet treats in the winter holiday season. So, you know, we have hot chocolate and hot cider and hot cocoa bombs and gingerbread houses and fruitcake and cookie decorating and truffles and like there are candy canes. There are so many sweet treats that, you know, I think that most of us have the opportunity to eat more than one special tradition a day during this month. And so I have a whole podcast episode about navigating the holidays. But one of the things that I tend to recommend for sort of the December holiday season is picking one, two, three of your favorite holiday tradition foods that it wouldn't feel like the holidays without, and taking the time to enjoy those. And then as other things come along, maybe being a little more selective. So for many years, one of my favorites has been to get a peppermint mocha frappuccino while I do Christmas shopping. That is something that really feels like the holidays for me. So that one tends to make my list. But, you know, if I've had that and then maybe another opportunity comes along for a hot cider or a hot cocoa bomb, or a piece of special cake that day, then I might say, I've already had my special holiday treat today. I think, you know, one a day or one a week might be my limit right now. So being intentional about what holiday traditions are important to you and using those without getting sucked into every single fun holiday, quote, tradition that comes along that month, because sometimes there is really, really a lot that are happening over that time. So just kind of being intentional and then maybe changing your traditions a little bit. So if one of your traditions is to make cookies and that's a big trigger for you, you always feel like you end up eating too many of them. Maybe you do a craft together with your family. Maybe you make handmade ornaments or something else instead of making those cookies. So, you know, the tradition is being together and doing something festive, right? It doesn't have to be about cookies. If that is not something that works well for you, it's okay to shift our traditions and change them a little bit over time. So if you want to hear more about holiday tips, there is a whole podcast on that from this time last year. Totally go check that out. It's going to give you the plan that I go through with my patients every year of how to survive the holidays. So as we wrap up here, I think it's important that changing tradition doesn't mean getting rid of the tradition, right? You don't have to change every tradition in your life. You don't have to never indulge or have something special again. But what I recommend is being intentional, doing it because it is important to you, because it is enjoyable to you. Don't just do it because it's what you've always done. That's sort of a bad habit, right? Our last podcast episode was all about habits and commitment. And so we talked a lot about how to create those and how to be intentional with making the good habits. And I think the flip side is if we have sort of bad habits or things that we just do automatically or things that we say it's a tradition and I have to do it this way, that we just be intentional about those. And we really make sure it's something that's still serving us and still makes sense in our life as we do that. So your homework this week is to kind of think about some things that you do on a regular basis, whether it's things like going to the movie or what you do with travel or how you celebrate with friends on the weekend, or whether it's around holidays. Think about some of the things that you consider traditions that you can't imagine life without, and start thinking about if some of those could shift to something else that better serves your intentions. So, you know, take a few minutes, come up with two or three things that you kind of do because they're a tradition that maybe your life would be just as rich and wonderful if you changed a little bit. All right, until next week, take care.
Thank you for listening to the Dr. Francavilla Show, where we learn about all things related to weight and health. If you love this podcast, make sure to leave those 5-star reviews and share this podcast with a friend or loved one. If you have a topic about weight and health you want me to tackle, head over to the website, thedrfrancavillashow.com, to submit your question. And make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss next week's episode. Take care.